Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a presentation of the Admiral's Radio Network.
It's time to enter the locker room. The Coach's Show of Michigan Admirals Minor League Football.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Isn't that you, Bill?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
What's up?
It is time for the locker room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network. I'm Donald Matthews, the head coach of the Michigan Admirals, along with Bill Schnornberg, the play-by-play announcer of the Admirals, and also joining us as usual as soon as I click him in, I guess. It would help if I would click him in. He doesn't want to click in. We'll get him in a second, though. We'll get the truck online in a second.
It's like that.
Oh, he is in. That good for you. It's just running a little slow tonight.
I got a little lockpick set that I use.
Oh yeah. I thought you was like a 10-second delay or something.
No.
You don't have no testicle issues tonight, do you?
No. I'm good, I guess. I don't know. I haven't really experienced any testicle issues in a few weeks, so I'm on. Oh,
that's good. I'm happy to hear that. First item up on the agenda tonight. Let's take a listen to the clip first of all.
Two balls, one strike. What tension. The runner's lead. A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive left field. One run is in. Here comes Bream. Here's the throw to the plate. He is safe. Braves win. They may have to hospitalize Sid Bream. He's down at the bottom of a huge pile at the plate. They help him to his feet. Frank Cabrera got the game winner. The Atlanta Braves are National League champions again.
Skip Carey passed away late last week. I guess you say you definitely the son of a legend, being the son of Harry Carey. And Bill, I know, you know, with you being in the broadcast business and everything for a few years, you wanted to say a few things about Skip.
Well, I always thought that when baseball was at least entertaining to watch, Braves games were probably one of the best games to watch because they had probably one of the best broadcasting crews in the game. They had him, they had Don Sutton and Pete Van Weeren, and they would divide the game up, and their broadcasts were really good and very entertaining on TBS.
Not as entertaining as old Harry was, but...
Not as entertaining as Harry, but, you know, they did the game sober, mind you.
But, you know, everybody knew who Skip Carey was, you know, with the Braves games, at least up until recently, being on TBS all the time. And, you know, he had a different delivery than his dad, that was for sure. But, it, you know, he's going to be missed. You know, it was just another one of those guys that the old guard guys that used to do baseball broadcasts that are slowly moving away from us. You know, the only ones that I can think of right now is, you know, that's been doing it for such a long time is the guy in Cincinnati. Somebody got to help me out here.
That'd be Brenneman. There's four
left.
Brenneman.
Ben Scully in Los Angeles.
And Harry Callis in Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, we may have missed one, but I think out of all of them in baseball, that's, and of course Bob Uecker still does the games in Milwaukee.
There you go. That's true.
And people make fun of it, but really Bob Uecker does a very good job of doing baseball games.
He does, you know, and you know, he always has the reputation of being a buffoon, you know, from the old Miller Lite commercials. And God help me, I love them commercials. I don't know why they quit doing them. I thought those were the funniest things around, especially the ones with Rodney Dangerfield. But, you know, that's another thing also. Aaron Matthews says, don't forget Ken Harrelson with the White Sox. He's been doing that for a long time, too, with the White Sox.
Yeah, the with your picks to click.
But, you know, we want to, you know, send our condolences to his family. He's got a couple of sons. One of his sons actually did the Braves broadcast with him, and he did home games for the Braves up until he died. And he also has another son that I believe is in Class A in one of the Braves affiliates doing broadcasting for them. So the Carey name is gonna definitely live on. I think Harry passed away about 10 years ago, didn't he?
Has it been that long?
Around then, yeah. It's been a long time.
Been about 10 years ago. But the next thing I want to bring up, and I realize these next two things have nothing to do with sports, but I still want to acknowledge their passing anyway because they were all right in my book. First guy is Isaac Hayes. Now, you know, I grew up as a teenager. You know, Shaft came out in 71 when I was a sophomore in high school. And just the music that he made. My wife used to make fun of Isaac Hayes and say he would put two songs on an album, put one song on one side, one song on the other side, and it would be a million seller with just two songs that were 20 minutes long.
I mean, seriously, like the intro to Shaft is, what, a good 35, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
That's not even it. Walk On By is 14 minutes long.
Indeed. You know, one of my favorite songs.
And it doesn't seem like it's 14, and it could be longer.
I know that whole thing hit Truck kind of hard. So yeah. I saw his MySpace. He put back up the Truck Turner poster on his MySpace there. So that was your tribute there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the video trailer for the movie on there for a while, and then, you know, I added the song to my playlist. And actually, you know, it can kind of be related to sports because in Truck Turner, he did play a former football player. So we'll run with that right there. But
okay, well, yeah. It's good enough for me, man. It's good enough for me.
Yeah, that was a shocker. I mean, you know, it's like, wow. You know, I came in, you know, kind of, you know, Isaac Hayes' music was, you know, I was still a young pup, you know, when he was in his heyday pretty much. But, I mean, still, you know, you can't deny, you know, the music, the Shaft, and just, you know, the things. I mean, he's never really been like a big limelight, like a huge star. I mean, here in the last, you know, two decades, but he was still well known. Everybody knew who Isaac Hayes was.
Oh yeah, man, for sure. You know, I mean, you know, a whole new generation of people now, you know, knows little of his music. They know him as Chef.
Yep.
And speaking of Chef, I could play any song. And he's made many songs over the year as a tribute to Black Moses, but I think I'll play this one.
Two tablespoons of cinnamon. and two or three egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour. You'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls. Of unsweetened chocolate and a half a cup of brandy, then throw in a bag or two of sugar and just a pinch of vanilla. Read up the cookie sheet, 'cause I hate when my balls stick. Then preheat your oven to 350 and give the spoon a lick. Have you seen my balls? They're big and saucy and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of goodness, high in fiber. Suck on my balls.
My favorite part of that song was when he said he didn't want his balls to stick.
Oh, they're packed full of vitamins and good for you.
I'm going to tell you something, though. A few years ago, Isaac Hayes put out a cookbook. And, you know, nutritional ways to cook traditional African-American meals, right? And I got the book from the library. In fact, I got it several times and got recipes out of there. And they had a recipe for chocolate salty balls in there.
Lon has one, too. That's what he's been trying to get girls with on the internet, but it hasn't been working.
Oh, boy. See, there you go.
I will have you know. I will have you know that I will vouch for this, that chocolate salty balls are good.
Wait a second. Don't cross over. Is it that bad at home that you've got to go and start tasting chocolate salty balls?
Has it gotten
that bad at home? Have you been called chocolate?
I swear to God, I actually made them three times. And you can ask Boss Lady. They are good.
I don't want to ask her. Hey, by the way, did your pops have some chocolate salty balls for dinner? That just does not sound like it should come out right. You should just give it a different name. Okay, the book says chocolate salty balls, but call them something else. Chocolate salty nipples or something, because when you start going that route and people just don't know, they're going to look at you with a sideways eye going, he just said that he just had some chocolate salty balls and liked it.
I gave one to my wife and she bit into it. I said, no, you got to suck them and suck them.
I have to ask because we've already crossed over. Did she enjoy it?
Everybody that I gave them to liked them very much.
I'm going to use that line. Lon, why does this not work for you? You don't walk up to him and go, "You want some of my chocolate salty balls?"
How
can you be? I cannot use that line.
Honestly,
because nobody likes vanilla, and I'm trying to go to the dark side, anyways, as much as I act like it. But you know, everyone knows chocolate tastes better. I mean, I know that. Look at some of the women I've been with. Chocolate does taste better than vanilla, but still, and shocking to say. Steve Jobs now knows that, but we digress.
You no, honestly,
oh, you're really digressing.
Yeah, honestly, I've never.
Because if anybody wanted to talk about Chuck, okay, we'll leave that alone.
I mean, honestly,
I'm just telling you that that's all. You know, that's the last thing I'm gonna say on that subject. All right. I gotta go find the cookbook though. I gotta go find the cookbook again. Yeah, good recipes in there. The other guy I want to talk about again. This has nothing to do with sports, but I want to talk a little bit about Bernie Mac. You know, he had that, I forget the kind of disease he had that kind of affected his lungs, and he died over the weekend of pneumonia, and that's like a byproduct of the disease he had. And you know, one of the greatest comedians around, I thought. You know, and what is really kind of creepy is that there's a movie coming out in November with Samuel L. Jackson as a star, and it's going to have Bernie Mac and Isaac Hayes in it. And I know Lon already knows this because he's already sent me a picture with the three of them there.
Yeah, that's like I told Boss Lady, I think I sent her a comment on my, I said, something happens to Sam Jackson, I'm leaving the country. That's just too weird. That's just
That's good. You put that picture up on the internet, and I was just, you know, if I was Samuel L. Jackson, I'd be breaking out like a sweat if I was at a, you know, Chinese person at a Spain basketball practice. But, you know, we digress.
So don't leave the house, huh?
Yeah, I'll be like, Sam, it's Lon Truck Turner's fault that he puts your picture with two dead guys. Now, mind you, though, technically, Bernie Mac and Isaac Hayes could be tied into sports because everything they've done with, you know, sports movies and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, Mr. 3000. There you go right there.
You know, please, don't mention that movie.
I never saw it.
We never said it was good. We just said he did a sports movie.
Yeah, that. There you go.
I never saw it, but, like, I mean, you know, how you go tell Sam Jackson it's my fault? I mean, I took the picture. I just found it.
I'm just saying, if you go Ezekiel 25:13 on your ass, if you keep that up.
Now, I also have a clip of Bernie Mac, and I have to preface this by saying that anybody listening, if you got little kids sitting up there listening to the show tonight, I will strongly ask that you have them leave for a couple minutes.
Wait a second. Wait. You let them listen to Chocolate Salty Balls? But now Bernie Mac may say a couple of bad words that Mommy and Daddy probably say to each other, but you let Chocolate Salty Balls go with no disclaimer, but yet Bernie Mac may cuss a little, and now we're going out disclaimers.
Well,
that was kind of backwards.
On this clip, he cusses more than a little bit, but this is consummate Bernie Mac to me. This was right at the end. Everybody knows about the Kings of Comedy.
Oh, boy.
Right. This is right at the end of Kings of Comedy.
Don't be afraid of the word motherfucker. I'm going to break it down to you. If you're out there this afternoon, you see about three or four brothers talking, you might hear a conversation, and it go like this. You seen that motherfucking Bobby? That motherfucker owed me $35 motherfucking dollars. He told me he gonna pay my motherfucking money last motherfucking week. I ain't seen this motherfucker yet. I'm not gonna chase this motherfucker for my $35 motherfucking dollars. I called the motherfucker four motherfucking times, but the motherfucker won't call me back. I called his mama the other motherfucking day. She gonna play like the motherfucker went in. I started to cuss her motherfucking ass out. But I don't want no motherfucking trouble. But I'll tell you one motherfucking thing. The next motherfucking time I see this motherfucker and he ain't got my motherfucking money, I'm gonna bust his motherfucking head.
There was only 20 dropped.
Oh my God! You know what? I remember seeing that in theaters with a couple of buddies of mine, and we all left. We were all just sitting there with tears in our eyes at that point. That whole sequence in that show was just you know, hilarious, talking about the kids, and it was, oh, man.
Well, do you know, like most of us grew up on the Cosby Show, and they were like, the Cosby Show is how, you know, if you ever have kids, you probably, and I've used stuff from the Cosby Show on my kids before, but I've also used Bernie Mac stuff from the Bernie Mac Show, because that stuff was more real, because he would tell them, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't do what you're supposed to. And that's how he kept it real like that. That's why his show was great. I mean, his show is still funny. Not as funny as Two and a Half Men, but up there just as hot. And his show was great. And when he sat in front of that camera and said, America, you know that these kids are getting on my nerves.
Yeah, what was that you said on Kings of Comedy? I'm going to beat him to the white meat show.
Oh man, I remember just like a week after that, just hearing people going walking around talking about, I'm gonna go get some milk and cookies. Just his whole sequence. I mean, the movie's hilarious anyway. And if anybody's not seen it, you need to see it. But just burning.
If anybody's not seen it, get out from under your rock and come out and join the rest of us.
Exactly. It might not have made it to Ohio yet, but, you know, we can send that.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I was told 4 hours ago that I'm not supposed to make fun of the smell or lack of eye candy in Lima. I was told that already. I'm not supposed to make fun of that funky Ohio smell and the lack of eye candy and the trolls that I saw when we went out to eat. I cannot say nothing about that.
Hey,
I feel no wonder Aaron and Devin got married, because there ain't nothing out there. Like, we might as well get married. There ain't no good-looking girls here. Just find the best one and shack up with her.
You know, I'm sorry. I didn't get that memo, the non-Ohio pissing memo. So, you know, maybe I need to check my fax machine. I didn't get that one.
Oh, you guys are pitiful.
No wonder Evan and Darren were like, we're going to come out and see you guys. Yeah, I can see why now.
I'm telling you guys, like I said, you guys are something else. Something else. I do want to say...
Oh, I know, it's a funny... Wait. I do want to say one thing. If Saturday night, if the people in Ohio saw, like, a certain smoke at about, I would say, 11:45... Between 11:45 and 12 o'clock ago, well, there's an air show. It wasn't an air show. It was when we got to the Michigan border, Coach Matthews flipped the switch and put on the jet engines, and we were gone. We were like a jet. We were like a thief in the night. We were gone. We were off the ground. We flew over cars on the highway. We landed at like 2 o'clock. That's the fast. I thought coming back from Grand Rapids was fast. We made it from Grand Rapids to Flint, and it usually takes an hour and a half, and we got back in 19 minutes. We made it back from Lima, Ohio in 19 minutes Saturday. Dave Yunker was like, man, I pulled in at 10 after 3. I was like, 10 after 3? I was snoring and dreaming about Halle Berry at 2:45.
I think
you left
home
before us.
I think I got home about 2:15.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, to be honest with you. I just put my cruise control on. I slid
okay.
James Brown into
Let me describe the scene, everybody. You know the light on the dashboard where you could see your speedometer? Mysteriously, it did not work after the game, so he could not see how fast he was going. Every time we went by a car, it felt like a Formula One race, because you're like, meow, meow. I was like,
I had to make up for time, because, you know, it pissed me off that the speed limit is only 65 in Ohio.
Well, they're still on 1990 rules.
Which means I got Michigan plates, so I can't go 55.
Right. And plus you put that damn bumper sticker in your window, which really slowed us down.
Oh, boy.
So I had to make up for
We were on the way down there, ladies and gentlemen. We were on the way down there. There's a cop that pulled a car over to the side of the road. He saw the van go by us and saw the Michigan sticker and sprinted to his car. I looked out the back window. He dropped some stuff, and you could see a look on his face going, "Oh, damn, I ain't going to be able to catch them."
I represent wherever I go and dare people to say something about it. Go blue. And I was not speeding. Trust me. Trust me. Like I say, especially in Ohio. I can't do that in Ohio. And I will say one thing, though. I agree with Devin 100%. We got the worst roads in the United States, I think. So I wasn't going to go too fast. All I got to say is Ohio. Let's join the rest of the country and get a 70 speed limit.
They can't because tractors do not go that fast. So they might as well just go where they top off at 65. Tractors can't go faster than 65, so that's the fastest that they're going to be able to have the speed limit in Ohio, because tractors can't go that fast. And you know horses. You know if you get enough horses together, you get enough horsepower, you go probably about 30. Considering I thought a horse was serving us Saturday night, but that's another story. So.
Oh, Jesus. Just please.
I think this is a good time to take a quick break here.
Yeah.
And, you know, before Bill really puts his foot in his mouth. But it's been a good show so far. So, you know, I don't know whether we could top this this first segment, but we'll try. Let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk Admirals football year in review and get this week in the USFA and talk a little playoff football here on the Admirals Radio Network. You're listening to The Locker Room.
Hey, this is Aaron Matthews, play-by-play voice of the 2007 National Champion Lima Warriors. And you're listening to my second favorite football talk show, The Locker Room Live, on blogtalkradio.com and the Admirals Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network. You remember that song?
No.
You don't remember that song? I thought I would find something that you may not have heard of Isaac Hayes and throw that out at you. I think that was made late 70s, I believe.
I got the funniest looks ever as a kid because when I got my allowance, my dad was like, "You could go out and buy anything you want." And I was like, "Well, I want to go buy a couple records." And my dad was like, "Okay, we'll go to the record store." Now, mind you, I think he's thinking to himself, "I'm going to go buy Chicago or Styx or I forgot whatever, maybe like Saturday or something like that." I walked to the back. I grabbed Earth, Wind, and Fire and Isaac Hayes. And my dad just looked at me. I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Nothing. You can get whatever you want." I walked up to the front and put the records down. I'll never forget the look on the guy and his wife's face. They just gave me this look, and I was like, "I've seen Cleopatra Jones." I have seen Shaft. And my dad's like, he's never going to be the same again.
Yeah, he probably what a strange young man I've raised.
Man, what the hell? Where'd he get switched up at the hospital?
But I mean,
he got dropped on the head or something.
Something.
Cleopatra Jones. Wow.
I went to a friend's house. We had a friend. My friend grew up Terry, and then he ended up getting a brain tumor in third grade. That's long. His father used to have movie night, and Terry and I were best friends. And Terry was there was three black kids in our school. And Terry was one of them. There was, his older brother was in sixth grade, and then we had a girl. So Terry and I were best friends. And parents said, "Can Bill come over and watch movies?" And so they had a huge reel-to-reel machine, and they played it on their white wall, and played Foxy Brown, all those movies, and they dropped me off the next morning, and he goes, "Mr. Harris," I walked back to my father, goes, "I don't think your son's ever going to be the same ever again." And I used to always ask if I could go over to the Harris's house and watch Friday night movies. It's the greatest experience of my life. Besides, of course, seeing Halle Berry naked in Monsters Ball, but we digress.
Well, I just had that to make you mad seeing Billy Bob Thornton tapping that, huh?
You know what did it? Because I thought to myself, you know what? If she don't care, any white man could get it now. So I knew I had a shot. If she letting Billy Bob Thornton get it, I got a shot.
Mr. Jones, right on to you. Pam Grier's still good looking. Yeah.
Isn't the greatest thing?
All these years later.
Isn't the greatest thing about Pam Grier right now is that she just fulfilled everybody's fantasy by making out with women in the L word or whatever that damn show is? That just topped it off. That was like the cherry on top of the biggest sundae that you've ever had in your life when Pam Grier kissed another woman.
I missed that.
And everyone probably stood up and said, "God, take me now. It's complete." She's beautiful and kissing women?
When back in the day, you went to see every Pam Grier movie, and you didn't really give a damn about anything about what the plot to the movie was or anything, but you just knew. You sat there waiting in that movie theater because you knew at some point you was going to get to see Pam Grier naked.
That's right. And that's what pissed me off about Above the Law when she was in that Steven Seagal movie. One, he wrote the damn movie. Isn't he smart enough to know that at some point he needs to tap that? That's why Steven Seagal's an idiot. He, instead of getting with her when they're on a stakeout, he gets her shot. That's why Steven Seagal's stupid. In a movie the whole time with her and doesn't even try to get it. What cop is going to be partnered up with Pam Grier and not try to get that? That's when I thought Steven Seagal was gay. That's when I was going to play the gay card of Steven Seagal.
I was actually going to play it when he divorced Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah, but you've seen her now, though? Ooh, but see, Kelly LeBrock's mom must be really ugly because he probably saw her and goes, "That's what she's going to look like in 50 years, so I got to get rid of this bitch."
Man, how do we get all off the track like this?
Talked about Pam Grier. I mean, I saw Jackie Brown, and I still couldn't tell you what that movie was about. But
I know, me neither. I got the damn movie. I have no idea. I saw the preview for that. It said Pam Grier. I'm like, I'm going to go see that. Don't even know what the movie was about. Didn't even care, really.
Nope.
I couldn't tell you who's in the damn movie besides Pam Grier.
Sam Jackson was in it. I can tell you.
Okay. Well, yeah, Sam Jackson's in every black movie, so come on.
Everything.
Sam Jackson's probably in South Park. We didn't even know it. He's probably in every movie. Name a movie. He's probably in The Karate Kid. He's probably the black guy sitting there, parking a car or something. We don't even know it.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Okay, let's get back on track now. Let's focus, all right? Let's focus. Let's talk football, all right? At least for a little while.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to turn over to you, Bill. We're going to go through our year in review. You can ask me anything you want.
Well, I know there's one question I'm not going to – there's three questions I'm not asking you. But first, I think the one is give me your most improved players that you saw this year.
I think Donquay Granberry, without a doubt, from where he came from the beginning of the year. And, you know, and this is no exaggeration. The people that are listening to this, this is no exaggeration. That first week I was at practice and Donquay was there, I actually spent a whole practice with him walking through different routes, teaching him how to run and what the routes were. He had that little training in high school. Yes, sir, Bullethead. He had that little training in high school, and to go from where he was in April to what he was able to do during the course of the season, you know, it's just remarkable. I think he's going to be, you know, if he sticks with it, he's going to be a very good receiver in this league.
Boy, you need to eat.
Well, you know what happened? You know, the problem with Bullethead is, and we discussed this with him Saturday, is the boy's whipped. He's in love. And when he's in love and he's whipped, he's not going to eat properly. So once he gets over the whippedness of being in love, then he'll start to gain weight. Because we've all been there. We've all been whipped. And we don't eat. And it messes with your mind. And that's where Bullethead is right now. He's young and whipped. And once he gets over the whippedness, he will put on weight quickly.
And you know, guys, you're right. He does get to the point where he's running some pretty good routes, and you know, and his hands have improved greatly. At the beginning of the season, I had my doubts about throwing the ball to him. In fact, he didn't play all that much at the beginning of the season, but I started to start him about the halfway point, and you know, he's been pretty you know, Saturday night notwithstanding, he was pretty productive for the last half of the season. Yeah, he do need to put some meat on his bones, and, you know, we've all discussed that with him. I really try to tell them that don't pay too much attention to what Bill say, because he gets just a little outrageous.
But I speak the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing with Granberry is just, he's all around, he's a good kid. I mean, you know, he listens. You know, if you tell him something, you try to help him, he'll actually listen. And, you know, I think that was a big part of, you know, just his growth this season. So hopefully he'll be around next year and just keep getting better.
Yeah.
What was his high school coach thinking? I mean, I see him, and I saw it too, because the first game, when I walked on the field the first game and I saw him there, and he had this look like, oh, my God. And I was like, step out of it, run around, to the last game, when he was warming up and running around all confident, catching the football and doing in the last couple games, it's just amazing. It's shocking. It's a night and day thing with him.
And I tell you also, another guy, Lazina DeGier is a guy that I wish I had from the very beginning. I think that he's going to be an outstanding player too. You know, and you know, he's running the problems where he can't play college football because of his, you know, stuff that I don't want to get into right now. But you know, this is a guy that is a collegiate level player, can play at the collegiate level, and he did the smart thing instead of just saying, "Oh well, woe is me." He found some place to play where he could continue to hone his skills and continue to get better, and you know, and I think he will.
And that's another, you know, going back to what I said about, you know, Granberry, he listens. I mean, you know, he came in on the sideline at one point Saturday. He's like, I'm getting double teamed. I was like, you know what? That means you're doing something right. That means that you're a threat. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Draw that double team. And he kind of looked like, oh, you know, like he kind of processed. But, you know, everything that I've said to him, I could tell he was, you know, every time I tried to help him, I could tell he was listening, you know, and taking it in. And he's another one that I'm really hoping is around next year. I look forward to lining up next to him.
Next question, William.
Is there a offensive and defensive play that stands out in your mind from the season?
Defense, no. be quite honest with you. We were so freaking bad defensively. Nothing really stood out.
Well,
there, you
and,
know?
And surprisingly, there is one defensive play that stands out for me.
What's that?
And that's when we were in Battle Creek on that and that goal line. That changed the whole game.
Which game is that?
When we were in Battle Creek with the play to Blaze. They got down to the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And sad to say that teams probably ran 300 plays on us, and we can only think of that one. But that's one I'll remember. Changed the whole complexion of the game. When they actually played
like a defense. I'm going to tell you, you know, and I've said this before. I've said this before on the air, and I've said this to my team. So there's nothing I'm going to say that has been said before. This was probably the worst defense that I've ever seen, and there was really nothing I could do about it. There was no way that I could, move parts around. I did the best I could with what I had. Moving Walter into the middle was kind of like, six in one hand, half a dozen on the other, because Walter, he's a smallish guy, and to put him at middle linebacker was subjecting him to a lot of punishment. But it was something I had to do defensively because, frankly, Anthony Kimbrough was not getting the job done at middle linebacker. He went game after game after game with one or two tackles, and middle linebackers should not play a whole football game and get only one or two tackles. And that was the biggest thing that I thought was missing in our defense this year was that thrust up the middle that we've had in the past. Now, last year, of course, we had Charleston in the middle, and Charleston Hughes is, he's in the CFL now. So, if this team is to improve defensively, that's the first thing on the agenda, is to find a good middle linebacker and move Walter back outside where he should be, and he's be able to make plays that way.
But the thing with Walt, though, I mean, you put him at middle, and he did make, I think, this first game at middle, he had, 12 tackles?
He knows where to find the football. He's around the football. But my concern with putting him at middle linebacker was, his stature. He was not going to be able, if I had put him in there at May, I don't know whether he would have made it until August playing middle linebacker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was fine for the 3 or 4 games that we did it this year, but that's not a long-term plan. Definitely not. We, this football team has to find a real good defensive tackle and a real good linebacker. We need to get strong up the middle. If you get strong up the middle, then you have guys like Justin Mars who really grew in the position at outside linebacker, and you have Walt as the other outside linebacker that can be able to track down plays and string plays out toward the sideline. But when you have a situation where teams can just line up against you and run right up the gut time and time again and not be stopped, it's hard to do anything.
Well, I can agree with that because I can see it in bird's eye view all season long. I could.
Let me tell you this, and in regard to everything that's happened this year, I'm not a guy that uses injuries as an excuse. We've had more than our share of injuries this year that we frankly just have not had in the past. But I think more so than injuries, what happened to us this year is that, and I blame myself for this, we got a mix of guys that collectively were not as committed as in the past. They were not committed to be getting better. They weren't committed to, a lot of them weren't committed to being at every game. And we had a couple of guys that really were just out for themselves. And like I said, that's on me. You know, I brought them on the team, and, you know, that was my mistake. You know, I take full responsibility for that and for everything that happened after that.
Do you think that maybe they got complacent because last year, I mean, there were maybe four games a year that this team could just show up and play and knew that they could bring their C or D game and still win by 3-4 touchdowns? And this year, you can't do that in this league. Do you think that's
complacent? I don't think they got complacent. I don't
really
think they got complacent.
Complacent or lazy?
Here's the thing. You know, and not just with the guys that we talked about before, but we're also talking about, I looked at the roster from last year, the end of last year, to the beginning of this year, to this point right now. And we lost, whether it's by, you know, we've had a couple guys that had to move. We've had guys that, you know, had work-related issues. We had guys that retire. And that list is 33 people that are no longer a part of the team. And then when you have that many people that leave for whatever reason, then you start scrambling for players, and then you start having to take people that, frankly, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't take. And I think you know a couple of the guys I'm talking about. I'm not calling no names here, but I think you know who I'm talking about. And you know that hurt things this year more than anything. I don't think that they were complacent. The guys that were left were complacent. They took me to heart when I told them that they were going to have to bring their A game every week. And in the past, there were, you know, against a couple of teams that. You know, you could play at 50% of what you're capable of and still win a game by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And you just can't – you're not able to do that in this league. And I think the guys that were left from that, you know, that played the majority of the season this year, they understood that. But they were kind of up against it, you know, in terms of numbers all year.
Well, is there a play that stands out offensively from the year that you'll remember?
You know, I think that, you know, really collectively, offensively, we did okay. We did pretty good. We scored points, you know, for the most part this year. You know, not, you know, Saturday notwithstanding, I think we just, we hit a wall Saturday and just ran out of gas, you know. But really not a play that really stamped on my mind and say that was the kind of year we had. But just to think that, you know, with like I said, with Granberry coming into his own, Jared Pfeiffer coming into his own at a receiver spot, people are not you know, likely to the key on Justin McHugh as much as they have in the past, and that really opened up our passing attack a lot. And you know, getting Andre back, we didn't have Andre early on in the season because he was playing indoor ball, you know. And that's another thing that really hurt us this year. You know, a lot of our big guys played hurt for most of the year. You know, Dave Youngkin played hurt almost all season long. A lot of people knew that Justin McHugh had broke his thumb and missed playing indoor ball and missed some time. But a lot of people do not know that Andre Broach played all this season, well, since he came back, play all this season with a hurt groin. And he didn't have that burst that he normally had. You know, like I said, you call it a perfect storm, Bill, and that's probably the best way to put that. You know, that snowball started rolling downhill and it got bigger and bigger. You know, it was a tough season. But I will tell you though, you know, Saturday watching Andre run against Lima and the way he was putting his head down, the way he wouldn't give up. You know, that really did my heart good. But that's consummate Andre. That's what you get out of him every week.
Well, I compare that to the second-best game I've ever seen him run. And everyone says, well, it's the 300-yard game against Detroit. No, but I mean, when he ran for over 200 yards behind a punter, a linebacker, a center, a guy, a guard, and you shifted in a linebacker and a wide receiver to play tackle in Pittsburgh, and he still ran for 200 yards, that's still, but Saturday what he did was probably his second best performance I've ever seen him have.
I think when you take the caliber of team into account and what he was able to do against the caliber of team, I put that, you know, even though he didn't get, you know, quite the 100 yards, I thought that was his best performance because it came against a powerful defense. You know, Pittsburgh's defense is good, but I don't think that I put Pittsburgh's defense on a par.
Oh no, that's the best defense we've seen. Yeah, he did all. He even threw a couple passes. We almost had a wing T look.
Well, you know, I told Aaron that we were going to run the single wing. He didn't believe me.
Well. Hold on,
I told him we were going to run the old flying wedge. But that was actually out of necessity. You know, David had cracked a rib in the first half, and he could barely breathe, much less throw the football. So, you know,
I was ready. I had my arm going, warming up, stretching up there. I never.
You know
got
what?
To
I should up. I should have let you suit up for one play. And, you know, let the dogs come after you, and I know that you would not have brought that up ever again.
Yes, I would have, because I know exactly what play I was going to run, too. We go, boop, boop. I already had to call in my head. I was like, okay, you get down there, do this stretch. Got it. I was ready.
So we're going to take a 60-yard safety on two. Ready, break. Going to run backwards screaming as long as I can. Somebody please give me a block every now and then so I can make it all the way back to the end zone so I can take a knee.
I got it. I had it. I was ready. So he's giving me a signal. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to say October, the third week in October, we will have a special announcement for what's going to happen next year. Because that's when Coach loses his bet.
Right, right. Let us not hold our breath on that. One more question, then we're going to move on.
No, I've pretty much covered everything. I'll ask one more. What is the one thing next year, besides, you said defensive, what is the one thing that this team needs more than anything, besides myself at quarterback? What is the one thing, or backup quarterback, what is the one thing this team needs, besides blue and gold helmets and, you know,
You know what?
Or is it too early to say?
I haven't really thought too much about you know, next year because, like I said, you know, to the guys after the game, I don't you know, I don't know what's in my plans for next year. You know, I was whooped after Saturday. You know, just trying to hold this thing together for the whole season, and you know, it really wore on me. And, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen with me next year. But we don't need one single thing. We need a lot of things. to get back to where we're a decent ball club. Man, that is such a tough question.
Okay, well, let's not answer it now then.
because
I mean, after what you said, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot by anything. I was just asking what if you thought, okay, this was to happen next year for me. This is what we need to do. The season's been over 4 days. I mean, I'm sure a lot of pro coaches don't know in 4 days what they need. So I mean,
I will tell you that in order, I think in order for this team to move forward, we need a lot of help defensively, and I think it starts with finding a middle linebacker.
See, you answered my question. Good job.
Lon, you got one more question before we move on?
He was checking his chocolate salty balls real quick before he moved on. So.
Oh wow. No, I really don't. Because I mean, you know, I don't want to point. I do have one thing I want to say. I want to. You know, I know that Youngkin played hurt Saturday, and you know, nobody will ever question his toughness. But also John Curtis. You know, he went out there and played that, you know, three quarters of that game with a broken hand. And so I have to, you know, I have to tip my hat to him. I told him at one point I was going to knock him unconscious so he couldn't go back in because he didn't want to come out.
So he played the whole game with a broken hand. His hand was broke before he got there.
Well, I mean, no, but he didn't play the fourth quarter, though. That's what I was
saying. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, we finally had to corral him and set him down. But, I do appreciate people like John and Dave and Coop and you know, and a lot of guys that were playing, you know, playing pretty dinged up. You know, we were realistic about things. We knew we weren't going to come in and set the world on fire Saturday, and like I said, I thought we had given all we could give the week before against the Force, and I think that he just, you know, collectively as a group, we just didn't have anything left to give that game, and that was a shame. You know, I was hoping that we could play a better game and give people in Lima more of a game, but you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and one thing that just me looking towards next year, because you know I'm hoping beyond all, you know, fingers crossed and everything, is just that. Just having this first year, you know, for people like, you know, Granberry, you know, Felipe, and, you know, and boom, just having this first year, the next year it's going to be a little easier. It's going to slow down for them so they don't have that per se deer in headlights look. Because, I mean, I saw a couple people that looked like they were just completely just terrified of Lima, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, Lima's a good team. Lima's, you know, the best until somebody knocks them off, but they're still only human. And it's just one of those things where I think just that inexperience, you know, rookie, you know, just coming in this rookie year, they were just kind of like, you know, oh my God, you know, just that dazed, like half out of it, half scared to death look. So hopefully those guys, if they do come back next year, they won't have that so much. They can just go out there and do what they got to do.
You know, the mountaintop, I don't think it's all that far away for these guys. You know, and to paraphrase Martin Luther King, I may not get there with you, but it's there to be taken. Let's take a quick break and we'll have this week in the USFA. And when we come back, we got some NFL news we want to talk about and also some Olympic news. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network.
Time now for This Week in the USFA, a weekly look at the premier semi-pro football league in the country. Here's your host, Aaron Matthews.
The regular season concludes, some records fall, and let the playoffs begin. We welcome you to This Week in the USFA. I'm Aaron Matthews, and let's go ahead and recap Week 10. And we'll start things out in the Wild Wild East as the playoff picture had yet to be determined. Four seeds had been in place, but still four teams battling for the final two spots. One of those teams was the Akron Jags, and they were idle. So they were on the outside looking in, hoping to get into the playoffs any way possible. We'll go ahead and start down with the playoff action. And the West Virginia Gladiators make the show as they defeat the Cleveland Cobras 62-33. The Western PA Warhawks were on the outside looking in. They needed to knock off the Pittsburgh Pride to make the playoffs, but the Pride and the Warhawks season with a 36-0 victory. Also, one of the teams looking to make the playoffs was the West Virginia Crash. However, the Mountain State Bruins pull the upset and get their first win in team history, knocking off the Crash and eliminating them from the playoffs 38-14. Let's turn our attention now to the Western Conference and a couple of great games here, highlighted by the West Michigan Force and Grand Rapids Thunder. A nail-biter with the Force getting the win and clinching the Western Conference North Division title with a 14-13 win over the Grand Rapids Thunder. The Michigan Gators needed a win to make the playoffs, and they got it, knocking off the Motor City Soldiers 17-14. Elsewhere in the West, the Lima Warriors were home taking on the Michigan Admirals. A Warriors victory would ensure them a first-round bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And the Warriors relied on special teams to get on the board first. Rush comes from Lima. It's a good kick. Is this going to bounce at the 35? Butcher's going to let it take a roll. He'll pick it up and try to take off with it. Butcher passes the 30. 35.
Oh, my! 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Warriors!
Butcher's return for 75 yards put the Warriors on the board. But in the third quarter, Wayne LeGrand says, I can do this too. Wayne will field it at the 28-yard line. He bounces towards the Warriors sideline to the 40, 45, 50. LeGrand pass midfield to the 40-yard line. He'll cut back to the middle of the field and towards the Admiral sideline down to the 30. He's got a wall in front of him. LeGrand to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Warriors. Lima amasses over 400 yards of total offense and clinches home field throughout the playoffs with a 58-0 win over the Admirals. Andre Broach, though, 22 carries for 97 yards for the Admirals, and head coach Don Matthews suffered his first shutout in over 25 years of coaching. The Ohio Outlaws knocked off the Mount Carmel Fire 33-0 in a game that was called with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter due to lightning. One other final to pass along from Week 10 as the Battle Creek Blaze shut out the Ada Dark Knights 47-0 in what turned into the Devin Whitney Show. Whitney, a rookie cornerback for the Blaze, picked off four Dark Knight passes, returning three of them for 187 yards and three touchdowns. Now, according to semiprofootball.org, Whitney's performance would rank first all-time for interception touchdowns in a game and second for interception return yardage. And Whitney had nine interceptions, returning four of them for touchdowns this season. After the game, the Ada Dark Knights announced that they will be leaving the USFA, and we wish owner P.J. Seifker and his team the best of luck in all their future endeavors. Well, now the playoff picture is finally set, and we can tell you after much deliberation and even going to tiebreakers that everything is set. In the Eastern Conference, the West Virginia Lightning are the number one seed with home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The number two is the Pittsburgh Pride, with the Cleveland Cobras slipping to three following their loss to the Gladiators. Lackawanna clinched the four spot. The Gladiators make the playoffs as the five seed with their win over the Cobras. And Akron makes the playoffs via the tiebreaker. A better divisional record than the West Virginia Crash earns the Jags the sixth and final spot in the East. Now in the West, with the win over the Michigan Admirals, the Lima Warriors clinched the number one seed at home field advantage in the West. They're followed by the Wayne County Wolverines. The West Michigan Force clinched the three seed, while the Grand Rapids Thunder are the four, the Ohio Outlaws the five, and the Michigan Gators make the playoffs as the sixth seed. So let's go ahead and look at the matchups of Week 1 in the wild card portion of the playoffs. In the Western Conference, the West Michigan Force will host the Michigan Gators, while the Grand Rapids Thunder will host the Ohio Outlaws. So two games in Grand Rapids coming up on Saturday night. And in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cobras host the Akron Jags. Both those teams met up 2 weeks ago, with the Cobras coming out on top. And the Lackawanna Dynasty will host the West Virginia Gladiators. So playoff time is upon us. We wish all the teams the best of luck in the playoffs. And coming up in just a few weeks, we'll have two teams left to play for the USFA Championship. We'll recap the wild card and get you set for divisional action in the playoffs coming up next week. Until then, I'm Aaron Matthews. We'll see you next time on This Week in the USFA.
Ladies and gentlemen,
protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight.
Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Protocol has been established. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Yes, I do.
Protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
You know!
Before I move on there, I do want to say, though, that it was really great meeting Aaron and Devin and meeting them in person this past weekend and, you know, hanging out after the game and everything. It's that was an experience, especially watching your guys drinking pitchers of beer. I saluted this one guy. I said, man, you all right with me? You was sucking down pitchers of beer like it was nothing.
Well, you're in Lima. They're going to look better after pitchers of beer.
Oh, jeez.
I was scared I wasn't going to get out of Lima the way you was talking last week.
I didn't do nothing. What did I do? I didn't
know. You hop out the van, and they was going to hang over the wall at the stadium. There he is! Get that some bitch!
Well, see, I had a plan. I was like, well, I'll just sneak back. And Aaron's like, you want to ride with me? I was like, yup. I ducked in the back seat because he had those tinted windows, and I just rode real low. I threw him off. I threw him off.
It's a very smart move.
We
got
our protocol.
Got 24 minutes to go in our show tonight. Let's move on and talk about some more things here. Madden 09 is out. This is the 20th anniversary of the Madden video game. Either one of you guys got the new game yet?
Not a fan.
Not a fan of Madden?
Not a fan of the Madden games. I remember a few years ago before Electronic Arts, who publishes the Madden games, bought up all the licensing for video games. There was Sega had a 2K series out, and NFL 2K5 hands down was better than Madden, and it was going for $20, and Madden was still going for $50, and that was the.
Oh yeah, I actually bought that game. I did think that was at the time was better than Madden.
Oh, it was leaps and bounds. I mean, even just the presentation, having, you know, the ESPN guys, Chris Berman doing the halftime, you know, and just even before that, the 989 series, the Game Day series that Sony made for the PlayStation. You know, it was just, you know, I'm just not a fan of Madden. It's just they don't improve it enough from year to year to make me want to go out and buy it every year. So, I mean, I had 08, you know, so I'll buy, you know, Madden 10, I guess. I don't know. But I'm not real big on it myself. Plus, it's like $50, man. Ain't nobody got that kind of money.
Yeah, I think it was the one that had T.O. on the cover, the game you're talking about.
Yeah, I just up until recently, I still had that for the original Xbox. And that was probably the best football game I ever played, you know, short of probably since Joe Montana football and the Sega Genesis.
Man. You guys are on the web chat. Let me know what do you think about the Madden 09 game. You know, has it improved? Has it not improved? You know, let me know something.
Yeah, I saw a game review. I think they only gave it an 8, a 7.5, or 8 out of 10 because they said that, like, there was, like, two different modes that you know, they had done nothing with that they could have improved, but they absolutely didn't touch. And, you know, it's just, they put the same game out every year. They may tweak this, you know, just little minor things that are barely noticeable. So it's just, you know, I buy it every other year. It's pointless to buy it every year to me. But I'm not a diehard like a lot of people.
You got the NCAA 09?
No. But see, the funny thing with me in sports and video games, after a certain point, you know, the computer can't beat you. And I'm not one of those guys that goes and plays online because I'm just not into getting my butt kicked by, like, some 12-year-old girl in the Philippines. You know, I can't, my ego can't take that. So
you know, I'll play him, you know, for a minute, but I get bored with him after a while because, you know, every sports game has a money play that you can just, you know, nine times out of ten, if that play doesn't result in a touchdown, it's going to result in, you know, just a huge gain of yards. So it's just, you know, you keep running. You get to that point, you can run that play over and over again, and the computer can't get anywhere near you. So.
Well, I heard with this game, you know, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but if they're supposed to have some kind of way that, for instance, if you're good rushing the football but you're lousy at passing the ball, it's supposed to, like, artificially boost you up to what you're not good at so you can, you know, so it's more of an even match when you're playing somebody head-to-head.
Yeah, and from what I've read, that it doesn't really work all that well. I mean, that's just what I've read. I haven't played the game myself. That it's adaptive AI, I think is what it's called. And the review I read, they said, you know, it's not that special, but I haven't tried it. I might put it on my GameFly thing, get it sent to me and play it for a little while and then send it back or something. But I wouldn't go out and buy it.
You heard it from Truck Term, yo.
I'm one of those guys, if I play a video game, I want to blow stuff up. You know, I want to shoot people and blow. I'm, you know, I'm into the Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty. You know, I want to shoot people, you know. So, you know, sports games really don't do it for me.
Since we went off the air last week, about an hour and a half after we went off the air, it came across all the wire services that Brett Favre had been traded to the New York Jets. And subsequently, the next day, Chad Pennington was released to create salary cap room for Brett Favre, and he ended up signing with the Miami Dolphins. Bill, I'm going to talk to you first about this, and you know, do you think that this puts the Jets as a playoff team, first of all, and then second of all, is the Dolphins the place for Pennington to go, or is that a good fit for him?
Well, first off, I wish right now that we could have, like, some Carly Simon or some Captain of Tennille, like, Love Will Keep Us Together playing, because I did notice that you had a little jet symbol on your MySpace page, you know, because of Brett Favre. So I'm glad you two worked out your man love. And
No, it was nothing like that. It's just the fact that he was going to the Jets. You know, I've never been a Jet fan, and I never will be. I've never been a New York anything
right?
fan.
I don't mean either.
I don't like the Yankees. I don't like the Jets. I don't like the Giants. I hate the Giants. I don't like the Knicks. I don't like New York teams.
Okay, just check it. Well, anyways, I think – out of the teams that he could have gone to, it was the best fit for him. Now, mind you, they don't really have that much of a running game. They don't have any receivers. They just have – they stock their offensive line, which is going to protect him. So if he stays healthy – and no one remembers that 2 years ago, Brett Favre played terrible. And the year before that wasn't that good either. So if he was going to go to a team, he was better off going – to the Jets that he was Tampa Bay. Now for Chad Pennington, that's a perfect spot for him because their quarterback situation is junk, their team is junk, and he's going to play and no one's going to be on his ass every Monday morning about how he didn't throw for 350 yards. That's a perfect spot for him. And if he can't start down there in front of those chumps, then you know what? I'm sure there's a small town team somewhere that needs a quarterback.
I will say about Pennington, you know, about Miami, though, it is a good spot for him. You know, as good as the reports were about Chad Henne, how well he played, how well he's been doing in camp and everything, you don't want Chad Henne to be your starting quarterback this year.
And Bill Parcells has not played a rookie at quarterback.
You know, Chad Henne is probably the future of the Miami Dolphins, but not right now. But here's the $64,000 question for you and Lon. Do the Jets make the playoffs?
No.
If they're relying on – it's like the Bulls relying on Ben Wallace to, you know, lead them to the promised land. I think it's the same thing. It's just going to be – you know, he's going to be there for maybe a season, maybe two, and then he'll go ahead and retire for good. But I don't think that Brett Favre is – one man is going to take them to the playoffs. Just like Bill said, they don't have a strong running game. They haven't had a strong running game in I don't know when. So
it's been since Curtis Martin retired 2 years ago.
Exactly. So it's just going to be one of those things where it's like, you know, there's going to be some improvement, but I don't see them making the playoffs. And if they do, they're going to be out in the first round.
Now, mind you, I thought Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good Monday.
I thought he did too. You know,
you can't think too much if you played
at the first problem at the very first. You know, I who wouldn't have something there? But I thought for the most part he looked pretty good. So here's the second $64,000 question: do the Packers make the playoffs?
Yes.
I think they have a better chance than the Jets just because of. You know, they do have a decent running game, and just, you know, it's just going to be about how well Aaron Rodgers can gel with the receivers. You know, if he can get out there and they have good chemistry, they have good timing, then they have a pretty good chance. I'm not going to say yes right now, but, you know, let him get a couple games, you know, real games, not the preseason games under his belt, and then see how he handles, you know, just that pressure, not having a second defensive unit coming after him, you know, see how he deals with the big boys.
Well, you know what? He didn't have Jennings in that game. I don't think Driver played either, did he?
Driver played. Ryan Grant did address. Jennings didn't play.
Ryan Grant did play.
This is a team that was 13-3 last year and returned everyone. They didn't lose anybody huge to free agency. They got just about everybody back.
Aaron thinks that Minnesota takes the division. The only reason I don't take Minnesota here is I still am not sold on Jackson as a quarterback. I'm not sold on the fact that he is going to be the guy that's going to take them to the division title and take them deep into the playoffs. They got a great defense. Aaron Peterson is – there's nothing bad you can say about Aaron Peterson. And they also got a –
That'd be Adrian.
I'm sorry. I see, I got Aaron on the brain, I guess. But, you know.
What about the Lions? The time is now. The Lions say the time is now. Why don't we forget
I finally saw that commercial, and I just shook my head and just kind of, I think I changed the channel. But my thing, a question that I have with Brett Favre and how does the country boy that's been playing up in Wisconsin all these years, how's he going to adjust to life in New York? You know, is he going to find him a little?
I ain't really worried about that. You know, as far as the Lions go, you know, they got Grandpa Joe as their coach, and it's hard to get excited about this team. You know, they have the same idiot running the team. They got the same coach. They got basically the same players.
Yeah, because that running attack didn't look all impressive in that preseason game I watched. I mean, they had a couple of guys in the second defensive unit that looked like, you know, they may actually, you know, be able to do
something. That's because their whole line sucks ass.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, but just. It sucked when they had Barry Sanders, but I mean that's comparing apples to oranges, really. But you know, if like I said, the only thing that I saw that really impressed me, I saw a couple of guys that was on the defensive unit that looked halfway decent in the second unit that's trying to make the team. They may not be around by the time the season starts, but you know, if they stick around, I think they could actually make some kind of impact.
Yeah. A few months ago, I'm doing my scouting thing, and I see out of the corner of my eye this old guy come up to me, and he acts like he's gumming whatever, hey, how you doing? You know, who the hell is this old man? It's Marinelli.
Well, he needed some offensive advice. He might as well come to you because the Trump's running his offense had no clue. You should have asked him if you could be the get-back coach.
I need to get on, coach. Like, get on the field, you know?
Yeah.
I know our commissioner is a Detroit Lions fan, so, you know, we all have our faults. Yes, we do.
Well, can I ask him please not to glare at us when we go to the league meetings? Thanks. Appreciate it.
I ain't worried. I'm not having no Lions stuff or anything. I do want to, we got about 10 minutes to go, and I wanted to bring this up. As I said, I'm not a real, you know, Olympics kind of guy. You know, I really could care less one way or the other. But I saw this on the internet today about the Spanish team and their controversy over this photo that they took, a team photo that they took. And for those of you that are listening and those of you on the web chat that haven't seen this picture yet, it's a picture of the whole team, the coaches and everything, and they got their fingers up to their eyes and making their eyes slanty.
The Angie move.
And they thought that this was like a tribute to China, you know.
Oh boy.
And, you know, if you haven't seen this picture, go see this picture. You know, Paul Gasol and some of these other guys are going, you know, what's the big deal, you know? I cannot believe this. In this day and age that people still do stupid crap like that and scratch their head and wonder why. I'm not really, you know, I'm not really caring about whether or not China gets insulted by something, you know, who really gives a rat's butt about China. But, you know, I'm sure there are Chinese Americans and Chinese people all over the world that took offense to that.
Well, I'm just wondering now, you know, when they play, you know, if they play Mongolia or whoever, if they're going to play blackface. If they play Iraq, if they're going to, you know, have, you know, backpacks on their back, and every time they dunk the ball, yell jihad out real loud. If they play Mexico, are they going to pretend they're sneaking over the border and not have a job? If they play Switzerland, are they going to play for a tie because Switzerland never wants to win anything? They're just going to keep playing for a tie.
Oh, boy.
I mean, are they, when they play England, are they going to bring all the ugly women they know because England doesn't have any good-looking women? Are they going to play Australia? Are they just going to dribble with their left hand down the left side of the court? When they play Italy, are they all going to wear black and be eating pasta on the sidelines? What are they going to be doing? Paul Gasol is the biggest moron now on the planet. The guy that, Caceres, whatever his name is, from Toronto, second idiot. But the biggest idiot of them all is the information director from China going, well, I thought they were being kind of humorous, and it was kind of cute. One, I didn't know that the word cute was in Chinese. And that guy's a moron. It's the biggest moron for saying something stupid like that. And they're idiots for doing it. Spain is the biggest group of idiots on the planet now, I think, when it comes to stuff like that. They get on, they don't think they're prejudiced, but when Theodore Henry, the little soccer boy that hangs out with Tiger Woods and Roger Federer, and they chant monkey whenever he touched the ball, they don't think nothing's wrong with that. I mean, what are they thinking over there? Are they that much of a bunch of a backwards-ass group of people that they don't comprehend stuff?
Evidently. Like I said, you guys out there haven't seen that picture, you know, get on the internet after the show's over. You know, we got about 7 minutes there, but after the show's over, go check that out and see what we're talking about. There also is a little bit of controversy in the Olympics with Chinese gymnasts, who a lot of people think are you know, underage, you know, haven't had a period yet, whatever, you know. I do believe you have to be 16 now to be, you know, a participant in the Olympics, and they are saying that a lot of the Chinese gals are really, really too young to be out there. You know, I personally don't care.
You know who really cares? You know who cares? R. Kelly cares. We should send R. Kelly over there, and he could tell you who's 16 and who's 13.
The one that he pisses on is underage.
Yeah. Anyone that has urine on them is underage. Anyone that smells like pee, you know they're not supposed to be in the Olympics.
Oh my God. I kind of have my suspicions. You know, some of them girls look like they haven't had a period yet. So. Wow. But R. Kelly might be a good barometer of that. You know, if they're of age, you ain't gonna want to have nothing to do with it.
R. Kelly would know.
No, no, no. Oh, I will piss on you.
We'll just take a bunch of silverware. Whenever sounds come up, whoever grabs the silverware, we go, okay, we know your name. Piss on her. Oh, nope, she doesn't smell. You're old enough. Go.
Last thing you want to bring up before we sign off for the night, our friend Chad Johnson for the Cincinnati Bengals. Today he said that he is taking steps in the state of Florida where he lives in the off season to possibly change his name legally to Ocho Cinco. So he can put it on his jersey.
And you know what? If there's a judge out there that grants him this, you should grab his head and Chad Johnson's head and smash them together. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
He should change his name to I Don't Make Catches in Big Games Johnson. I Disappear in Big Games Johnson. When I would get the ball thrown my way, I act like a pussy Johnson.
You know, the thing with Chad Johnson is, though, he is a marvelous talent when he's got his mind on the game. I think a lot of the stuff that he do, you know, you laugh at it and say, oh, you know, that's, you know, Chad being Chad or whatever, but the stuff that he did this year kind of went beyond that and went to the rim of hurting his team. And I'm frankly surprised he's still in Cincinnati.
Well, once he realized that he wasn't going to get traded and they were going to make him sit and he wasn't going to get his money, and it's kind of funny how somebody saying that to you will change your whole outlook on what you really feel about your team and organization. When they tell you, well, we're not going to play you, you're not going to dress, and you're going to sit your ass at home and not play for anybody. That will make you wake up one morning and go, you know what, maybe this is not so bad after all.
Yeah, you know, and Aaron brings up the you better have a good year. Or are they going to kick him out of Cincinnati? I think, you know, that could be said for their coach, too. They better make the playoffs this year. He's out the door.
Yeah, because, you know, their organization with coaches is about as smart as the Lions, because really Marvin Lewis, he went to every penitentiary that he knew somebody was at who could play football, picked them up, was going to have the longest yard reality show could be in Cincinnati with all those chumps.
Well, we got a couple minutes left, so we want to get ready to jet on out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I do want to tell our esteemed Mr. Snornberg here, happy birthday. I hear you got a birthday coming up.
Yes, and happy birthday to you, because yours is the day before mine, so all great people are born August.
That's a protocol establishing weekend, you know that?
Yes, it is.
Seriously, it's a protocol establishing weekend when you have the birthdays of two great men such as ourselves on consecutive days.
Correct. I second that protocol.
A third and fourth and fifth. I mean, that's,
I'll fifth that.
I never
I'll
really
take a
thought
fifth
of it that way. Yeah,
I'll take a fifth of that.
Yeah, you take a fifth of anything, I know. Yeah, thank you very much for the birthday greeting. Hopefully, Boss Lady have a nice present for me Saturday. I'm very, very confident of that. But I want to thank you all for listening tonight. Good luck to the players and teams that are participating in the first round of the playoffs next week. Next week, we'll talk some more about the NAFL. Yeah, USFA
wow.
playoff. Yeah,
wow.
You know what? And it took
you have to
all
establish
year.
Know your league. You have to establish know your
and
league protocol right now.
It took me all year to make that slip up, and I was conscious of that all year, and I waited till after the last game of the year to make that slip up.
I mean, you know good and well there won't be a team anywhere around here making the NAFL playoffs, so you're okay.
That's true. That's true.
And we made it through the whole show without saying that stupid name anyways.
I didn't say
it. I'm just saying we did it. We made it. Way to go, Lon.
Hey, I was talking about Lapeer County.
I know. Well, scratch your chocolate salty balls and be happy now. You made it.
I think I will. Thank you.
All right.
Good night, everybody.